It's time now for Jesus is the Answer with Pastor Peter, coming to you from the International Christian Fellowship in Northeast Philadelphia. International Christian Fellowship is a Bible-believing church that preaches the uncompromised Word of God and prays for you and your needs. Pastor Peter is bringing the message of salvation, healing, and deliverance throughout the world. Now, here is Pastor Peter.
What Jesus Christ said, let's read verse Matthew 12:25.
And Jesus knew their thoughts, and said unto them, Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand.
Now here, what Jesus Christ said, it's very true. He says, the kingdom divided against the kingdom will be destroyed. And in the family, the people go against one another, that house is collapsing. And so he says, this is what happens. In the family, mother against father, brother against sister, or sister against mother. Whatever they do, that house will be destroyed. And so, the same way he says, verse 26. Now, when you read these things, it sounds a little bit funny. Let's read. Verse 26.
And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand?
People might be thinking, when Jesus Christ is saying, if the Satan goes against Satan, then his kingdom is divided, and how his kingdom will stand. He said, why? He wanted his kingdom to stand. That looks like difficult to understand, but he was giving an example that the devil's kingdom, devil is already the call king of the earth, means he is the ruler of the earth right now. And he was before Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary. And so he is saying the devil has agenda. And now Jesus Christ came to destroy the works of the devil. So he's trying to say the kingdom of devil is not divided yet. Satan goes against Satan, then his work will be automatically finished. He says it's not going to happen that way. There is somebody stronger than him has to destroy him. Is automatically is not going to destroy. We saw the example, one demon goes to one person's life. If another demon goes to that person's life, the two demons will be fighting with one another in that man's life. But doesn't happen that way. We saw one person's life, they were legions. How the legions stayed in one man's body? That means they had unity. The devil has more unity than the children of God. One demon goes out of somebody, and then he looks everywhere, and he comes back and says, hey, that place is better than I'm looking for. And he comes back and brings seven demons worse than him, and they make the miserable place. But those demons, they are not fighting to each other. They are making the man's life miserable. Jesus is saying, how can the devil cast out devil and destroy his own kingdom? Because he knows the day is coming. One day will come and the devil will be the king of this world in the time of tribulation. And after that, Jesus Christ is going to destroy him. So he said, this is not the time. Okay, let's read verse 27.
And if I, by Beelzebub, cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out?
If you think that I'm doing in the influence of the demon and the power of demon, how your children do. Your children means he's not talking about Pharisees, he's talking about other ministers like a priest or prophet or other people, how they do. So they could not say anything, they kept quiet.
But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come unto you. Or else how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house? He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad.
So what is trying to say to these people? He says, you have to have a man stronger than the person who watching his house. We have to bind that strong man first, and then spoil the house. So the devil is a strong man, but the Jesus Christ is stronger than him. And so he says, I came here to bind the demonic forces, destroy the demonic forces, and that's what he is doing. And so he is saying, you people are not with me, you are against me. That's why you cannot understand my ministry. You're supposed to be helping me in the Lord's work, but you are doing against. That means he indirectly saying, you are the demons, you're with demons, I am not. I have the power to control the demonic forces and give the command to the devil to get out of here, and they listen to me. So he's saying, I am doing with the power of God. You think how the other people are doing it. So he is glorifying God, and he's saying, I am doing with the power of God, and that's why the kingdom of God is already come upon you. Okay, verse 30.
He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come.
Now, when Jesus Christ said these things to these Pharisees, I think he scared them a lot. Because they were saying, you are doing these things by the spirit of Beelzebul, demon's power. And they underestimate the power of God. He says, I am doing this by the power of God. So he says, when you say God, God is the spirit. St. John chapter 4 verse 24, he says, God is spirit, and whoever worships him, they should worship him with the spirit and truth. So he was trying to say, but many people are taking like a Holy Spirit, the third person of Trinity. Either way you take, Jesus Christ is the only one took the form of man. But the God the Father is in the spirit, and the Holy Spirit is the spirit. So he's saying, if you want to say something against me, you can say. You cannot say against the Father. You cannot say against the Holy Spirit. He didn't use the word Father name, but he said against the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God is holy, and the third person of Trinity is holy. And when you see the plan of salvation is done by the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, when you say blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, people don't understand. When you read in the book of John, he says, the Holy Spirit will come and he will guide you in all truth. Not only that, he will teach you, he will remind you, and he will convict you about your sins. Means the Holy Spirit will tell you you are a sinner. Holy Spirit will tell you you should repent. Holy Spirit will tell you if you don't repent, you will be punished. And so, if somebody denies the message of the Holy Spirit, that person will not be forgiven this world or world to come. Other all sin, he says, all sin what you say against anybody, even though against Jesus, those sins will be forgiven. But the God's plan for your salvation, what God has done, if you reject the plan of salvation, if you reject what Holy Spirit is telling you to believe in Jesus Christ, believe the Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Jesus Christ gave his life for you. Jesus Christ is the Savior. He is your Redeemer. And if somebody reject that, that person will never go to heaven. He will go to hell. Because the Word of God says, even the John chapter 3, if you read from verse 16, 17 and 18, please read. He says, Jesus Christ did not come to condemn the world, but if you reject the Christ, if you reject the message of God, that person will be condemned already.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God.
See what he's trying to say? God so loved the world, he sent his son not to condemn, he sent his son to the world to be get saved. But he says, if you do not believe what God did, and if you do not believe the plan of salvation, if you don't believe Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're already condemned. Condemned means what? You're going to go to hell. And so that's what he's saying to these Pharisees. If you're rejecting what the Spirit of God is doing the work among you, or the Holy Spirit is doing the work among you, and if you don't recognize the power of God, then you are condemned. Okay, go back to the Matthew chapter 12, verse 33.
Either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt, for the tree is known by his fruits. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh.
Now, he is condemning these people because they underestimate Jesus' ministry. They are trying to tell Jesus, you are doing this work by the evil spirit. And Jesus says to these people, you know what? Your mouth is rotten. Your mouth is bringing evil things. That's what he's saying. He says, if the tree produce the bad fruits, that means tree is bad. And so he says, you are like a generation of vipers. And he says, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? He says, you are evil people. You are trying to do good, but you cannot do good things, even though you want to do something good, you want to speak something good. He says, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So what he's trying to say, your heart is evil, your thoughts are evil, and you are giving bad fruits. So what he's trying to say, if the fruit is bad, the tree is bad. So what do? John the Baptist says, if that kind of tree, he should cut it down and put it in the fire. So indirectly he's saying, you people are going to go to hell because your judgment is coming. Okay, let's read a little bit. Verse 35.
A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment.
Your heart is bad. Your thoughts are bad. You are bringing evil things from your heart. So he says, even the simple thing, idle words. Do you know how many people speak idle words? Means that word has no meaning. And they say something for just funny. And they want to make people laugh. Idle words you speak, God will judge them. Means each and every idle words. Other words doesn't have meaning. And now some of the people have invented some words. Doesn't have meaning in this 21st century. They are not even in dictionary. Some of the words they are putting by force in the dictionary. They use some of the words they are not in the dictionary, and they use these idle words and to make joke or make fun or accuse somebody or do something. And new words they're using. The Word of God says, each and every idle words man speaks, man has to give account. That means God is keeping count. Everything what we say, good or bad, or joking. And some people sometimes they say something and you say, what did you say? Oh, I was just joking. Sometimes they want to hurt you. And when you say, what did he say? Oh, I was just joking. But the Word of God says, if you're joking or doing for purposely, it's all recorded. And one day, the judgment day. Read the book of Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. He says, the day is appointed. The man has to die, and after that, the judgment. So each and every person will be judged according to what they did. Then somebody says, oh, I did billion things. I did something in secret, I did things openly, I was not afraid of anybody, and I had said so many bad things. How can I avoid the judgment? God says, very simple. What you do, call upon Jesus. and ask the forgiveness of your sins. And then your sins will be forgiven. You will pass from death to life and no judgment. Read St. John chapter 5, verse 24.
Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life.
Do not want judgment. You do not want to go to hell. You said so many idle words. You said so many cursing words. Just repent and ask God to forgive you. Everything will vanish by the blood of Jesus Christ. Okay, Matthew chapter 12, verse 37.
For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned.
He says, your word will condemn you, or your word will justify you. That means how your life is. Whatever is in your heart, that will come out of your mouth. Garbage in, garbage out. Whatever the bad things you keep in your heart, the bad things will come out. He says, you will be justified by your mouth. Your mouth will tell you the tree is good or tree is bad. That's what he says. Everything comes from the heart. And that way, people will judge. If the person is not talking, you would not know who he is. And so he says, whatever the person is, you can understand from his language. Understand from his behavior. What kind of tree is this? And so he says, that's the way God will justify you. So whatever you put in your heart, that will come out of your mouth. Okay, let's read verse 38.
Then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. But he answered and said unto them, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas.
Now see, again, this people, Pharisees, asking him, say, could you give us a sign? What sign they were asking? They were saying, if you cast out the demons, if you heal the people, if you do all kinds of miracles, we are just thinking that you are the son of David or an ordinary person. We want to know how you became a prophet or how you are a son of God. Is there any sign for us? Now, Jesus would have just said, I didn't come to give you a sign. But see, Jesus was angry also with these people. A few minutes ago, he says, the vipers. And now he is saying, evil and adulterous generation seeketh after the sign. So, indirectly saying, you are evil, you are adulterous, and you are evil. And that's why your heart is evil. And that's why you are asking me a sign. So the sign only will be given to you, not anything else but the sign of Jonah. Let's read the verse 39.
But he answered and said unto them, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it but the sign of the prophet Jonas.
There will be no sign given to this evil generation or adulterous generation, only the sign a prophet Jonah. And thank God Jesus did not stop right there, because some people might be saying, we don't know what he's trying to say. So he explains in the verse 40. Please read.
For as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, because they repented of the preaching of Jonas, and behold, a greater than Jonas is here.
Now here he's saying, you will have the sign of Jonah. And then he explained to them, what was the sign of Jonah? Jonah went to the fish belly. He says, whale, but actually a fish belly. God prepared a big fish. And so he stayed there 3 days and three nights, repented, asked God to forgive. He said, Lord, I'm going to go to Nineveh and will preach. And then the fish vomited him. But the point I'm making, here the word of God is saying, Jesus Christ is saying, when Jonah preached, whole Nineveh city repented. And so he's saying, in the judgment time, if the Nineveh people standing there, and they heard about Jesus Christ, who is the Son of God, and preached on your street, and preached in your synagogue, you should be repenting more. You want to know greater than Jonah is here. First of all, he says, greater than the temple is here. Now he says, greater than the Jonah is here. What he's trying to say, you people giving more respect to the temple, I'm greater than temple. You thought the Jonah was the greatest prophet? Jonah didn't do from his heart. He just obeyed God and did, and he wanted to see if the Ninevites get punished. Actually, Jonah wanted whole Nineveh to be destroyed. I mean, God didn't destroy the Nineveh. He got mad. I knew that you're not going to destroy those people. So he got mad. He said, but the greater than Jonah is here. What is my message? I did not come to destroy you. I came to save you. And so I'm greater than Jonah. He didn't understand. Okay, verse 42.
The queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. For she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here.
And when she came and she talked to Solomon, she said, when I heard about you, I came here. But after coming, when I saw with my own eyes, even the 50%, I didn't hear it. And so she was so impressed. And some people already made the movie about it and showing how much she loved Solomon. So the point here Jesus Christ is saying, the people came to see the Solomon from end of the earth, but the greater than Solomon is here. Solomon was the greatest king ever lived. He's saying, you thinking that Solomon is great, that the people came to hear him? I'm the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He didn't say it, but the meaning comes that way. I'm the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. There will be not a greater king than Jesus. And you do not have value for me. I am greater than the temple. I'm greater than the Jonah. I'm greater than the Solomon. Why? Because these people's eyes were on those things. Temple, Jonah, or Solomon. So he says, listen to me. The day will come. The Sheba queen or the people from Nineveh stand there and they will judge you. They will say, you people had the good chance to believe Jesus Christ and get saved and go to heaven. We didn't get that chance. And so they will accuse you. That's what he's trying to say. Okay, verse 43.
When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and findeth none. Then he saith, I will return into my house from whence I came out. And when he has come, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh with himself seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be also unto this wicked generation.
Jesus Christ is saying to these people, if the one man had the demon, if that demon goes out of this man, and he sees this person is not doing anything for God, and so I'm going to go back to that man, I'm going to bring all seven demons worse than me, and we are going to ruin his life. And so he said, this is what's going to happen to this wicked generation. So he is trying to say to the Pharisees, you got a chance. You know, Pharisees, they were doing the Lord's work. They were saying, I'm better than other people. And people thought they are good people. But your stage is going to be worse than before. The devil is already getting hold of you. You don't understand. Right now, you might be thinking that we are good, but the demon is already working in you. You have a chance to repent and put it right with God. If not, that demon is coming sevenfold and ruining your life. That's what he said. That's the way you people are wicked generation. You do not understand and you are not still understanding. You have still chances. Don't allow that demon to come back and destroy your life. And so now he's talking to those people and here comes somebody. Verse 46.
While he yet talked to the people, behold, his mother and his brethren stood without, desiring to speak with him. Then one said unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with thee. But he answered and said unto him that told him, Who is my mother, and who are my brethren? And he stretched forth his hand toward his disciples, and said, Behold my mother and my brethren.
Now here we see, many people have different ideas. Some people say, Jesus Christ did not have any brothers and sisters. But here he says, one man came and said to Jesus, Your mother and your brethren, they are waiting for you. They want to talk to you. Jesus Christ was busy. He got a beautiful chance to, hold on a minute, people. My mother and my brothers are there. Let me go and talk to them. And he could avoid this discuss with these Pharisees, right? He got a good chance to get out of that place. But he says, no. I want to teach these people lesson. And my disciples are there listening to me. And so what he was doing, whatever he was teaching in synagogue or talking to Pharisees or talking to anybody, his disciples were learning. Learning these things because they knew the time will come, we have to face the world. So they were listening very carefully. So he says to this man, Who is my mother and who is my brethren? Whoever listens to me or obey God, they are my brothers, they are my mother, and they are my sisters. And so we want to see why Jesus Christ said this. Because the word of God says his brothers, they were not believing in him. They wanted to even kill his brother. They were also jealous people. Okay, let's go to St. John chapter 7, verse 3 to 5.
His brethren therefore said unto him, Depart hence, and go into Judea, that thy disciples also may see the works that thou doest. For there is no man that doeth anything in secret, and he himself seeketh to be known openly. If thou do these things, show thyself to the world. For neither did his brethren believe in him.
See, here he's saying his brother did not believe in him. You have to read the whole chapter, then you have to understand. And there is another scripture. I don't have time. The time is gone. And Jesus Christ has other brothers and sisters. Their names are given in the Bible. Even though we read in James and Jude and all these people who wrote the books, they were his brothers. But we don't have time. But in short, what I was trying to say, Jesus Christ is saying, Who is my brother? And who is my sister? Whoever is listens to my Father, listens to my words, those people are my brothers and my sisters and my mother. So what he's trying to say, whoever are the children of God, they are closest with Christ Jesus. The same thing happens to us. We might have our blood brothers and blood sisters, but if they are not born again, they act like they are your enemies. Because the Bible says the brother is born into this world to fight with other brother, and they always fight about the property, about this and about that. But once you are born again, child of God, then the person can be different language, different culture, different country, but we are all washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. We are all brothers and sisters. That bond is much more stronger than the bond by one mother and one father. When we are born again, children of God, even the 1 John chapter 5, verse 1 and 2, he says, if you are born from God, we will love the children who are born from above.
You've been listening to Jesus is the Answer with Pastor Peter of International Christian Fellowship in Northeast Philadelphia. If this program has been a blessing to you, please let Pastor Peter know. Write to Pastor Peter at Post Office Box 5033, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19111. Again, that's Pastor Peter, Box 5033, Philadelphia, PA, 19111. Pastor Peter and his prayer partners are taking your calls right now. The number is 215-342-3759. Again, that's 215-342-3759. You can also send email to icfprayerline@comcast.net. Every Sunday at 11 a.m., International Christian Fellowship has a worship service with communion and healing service. You can find more information at www.internationalchristianfellowship.org. This is a faith ministry. Your prayers and financial support are greatly appreciated. And please remember to tune in next time for Jesus is the Answer.